Bible with you today. Brother Laren read from Matthew. I'm going to read from the book of Luke, and I appreciate him reading that. Love him very much. Love all of our deacons. Love all of you. What a blessing. What a blessing to get to be the pastor of this little church. People ask me all the time, how long you been there? It just don't matter. Amen. If I'm here till he comes back, I'll be thanking him for letting me get to be here one more day. Thank you, Lord. We want to read from Luke 24, and we're going to take a thought out of that. And I've tried to study on this on and off all week. I may have overstudied it. Sometimes we do that. I pray that we don't take the Spirit of God out this morning and lean upon our own understanding, because our own understanding ain't no good. We need His understanding. So y'all pray for me this morning. This is a little different. I opened the window a while ago, and I thought about how He'd opened the windows of heaven, and I pray that you'll get a blessing out of the thoughts He's laid upon her heart today. That's all I've ever wanted, is Him to receive honor and glory out of what He lays upon her heart, and for someone to receive a blessing. That's all I want this morning. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in a shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto him, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified the third day and rise again. And they remembered His words, and then returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to be to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld into the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And when mistakes we made reading, that's reading in the 24th chapter of Luke, down to the 12th verse, and our thought this morning will be coming out of that 5th verse, and it says, why ye seek the living among the dead? And I had so many thoughts about that this week, and so many ways that we could go about looking at that. And I thought, one of the things I thought about, there's so many people today that are no doubt trying to meet somewhere looking for a living God among a bunch of dead people. There's people meeting today that don't really know our Lord and Savior, that are dead in trespasses and sin. And I feel so blessed and thankful today to get to be a member of the Lord's church, to get to be around a bunch of people that are not dead, that we're able to come and seek a living God amongst living people. But we think about how He said, why seek ye the living among the dead? And I want you to know the day, lost person, you need to seek a living God. I want to get that put in there too. They were seeking something there. They were seeking someone. They were seeking Jesus Christ. And I want you to know He is living today. And I'd like for us to think about, as God's people, in all these troubling times that we're in today, are we seeking a living God? Is He really living to us? When we talk to Him, do we believe that He's right there hearing our voice? Do we believe that He's able to take care of all things today? Do we treat Him like a living God? Or are we still just like they was? They was His disciples. They was born again just like we are. But yet they was going to visit with a God that they thought was dead. But I want you to realize He wasn't. And I'm thankful today to know I've done talked to Him right up here just a little while ago. I've done talked to Him a couple, three times this morning. And I know that He is a living God. Amen. And boy, I'm thankful for that today. I want to go over here, and this is where a lot of our faults came from. And but listen, over here in Acts, where Peter had preached Jesus Christ to them there, and it was thousands of ones that believed. He made a statement here. And when he began to preach to them, he said, "The men of Judea, I want you to realize." But here he brought it down to a point. Even though I don't believe he was talking to a bunch of saved people, he brought it down to a point. They was his brethren in being Jews. And I want you to understand that sometimes when the Bible says that, it means not talking about somebody being saved, but sometimes it means just talking about their brethren. But he said, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day." Now listen to me today. Pay attention a little while. He told them he wanted to speak to them of the patriarch David, meaning the father of them. I want you to realize David was a great man. I want you to realize David was a great king. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the apple of God's eye, I believe. God looked upon him, had special feelings towards David. David served the Lord, but David was just like me and all mankind. He failed along the way. He sinned along the way. I want you to realize, he said, David, his sepulcher is buried and he's with us until the day. I want you to realize, I believe Peter, when he preached there, he pointed out and he said, David is buried just right over there. Don't look at David. When David talked about these things in the Old Testament, he wasn't talking about himself, but he was talking about one to come. And you can find all through the scriptures. And I thought about how many different places in the Psalms, or even in Samuel, that we can look to and read about how Jesus, or David, pointed towards Jesus. Even when he wrote and it seemed to be talking about himself. But he wasn't talking about himself. He said, "Men and brethren, let me be freely speaking to you to the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would rise up Christ to sit on his throne. And he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell or the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption." I want you to realize when Lazarus, when Jesus raised him up, Lazarus was not the first of the resurrection, but Jesus was. Lazarus was not able to raise himself up. And Lazarus did see corruption. They said that he'd been dead for 4 days. He'd been in the grave for 4 days. They said his body stinketh, but Jesus never saw corruption. David, over in the book of the Psalms, in the 16th chapter. He spoke of these things. In the 8th and the 9th and the 10th verse, he said, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoice, and my flesh also shall rest in hope, or in confidence. Listen, that's what hope means here. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. David wasn't talking about David. He was talking about Jesus. And that's what Peter was telling them. He wasn't talking. He was being a prophet. He said, David is dead and he's buried over here. He was one that they looked up to. Honey, he's one that I look up to. But I want you to realize today, his grave is still there today. And he's still in it. You say, well, he'd be gone by now. I want you to know, honey, someday after the while, in the resurrection, he'll come out of the grave just like me and you. I begin to think about a living Savior. I begin to think about the men that we've looked up to in our life. I begin to think about the ones that I used to run to. I want you to realize Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father this morning. And not David, but it's Jesus that sits at the right hand of God this morning, that makes intercessions for us. And I thought about my dad and my brother. I love my daddy all my life. Up to that time that man died, I still would go and ask him advice. I would go to sit down and talk to him and ask him what he thought about something before I made some kind of big decision. I felt like that man knowed a lot more than me. I felt like he had wisdom, and I understood that. And I want you to know, you should honor thy father and thy mother, that your days may be long here on earth. You need to pay attention. They've lived a while here on this earth. They know a few things. So I love my dad, and I'd go to him. And I'm not going to lie to you. I love my brother the same way. I asked him, hey, if I ever was working on anything, I would either go to my daddy or my brother to get advice. And they always had good advice. Different times since my dad has died, gone on to be with the Lord, I've went over there to the graveyard by myself and sat down there a few minutes and talked to a headstone. And knowing my daddy wasn't there, my daddy had done gone on, and he never once answered me. He never once gave me an answer. He's gone. He's gone on. He's not the one making intercessions. I could go down there and spend time at my brother's grave, and I loved him. Just about every week goes by, I'll pick up my phone and think about calling my dad or my brother. But listen to me. They can't answer me today. But I've always had one who didn't stay in the grave. He's alive today. He's the one that can help us through the things we're suffering today. He is the only hope and help we have. Do not put your trust in the government. Do not put your trust in anything that's going to die and be buried. But put your trust in one that died for you and was buried and is alive today. Who else could do that? You tell me one person today you know of that's come out of the grave besides Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He is where my hope lies. I pray that's where your hope lies today. If you don't know him, seek him. He said in the Roman letter, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine, nakedness or peril, sword? Listen to me. There's nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Listen, but it said in the verse before, he who is that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, brother, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Listen to me. He is risen. He is still talking to the Father on our behalf. Over there in the town where Moses went into the tabernacle after the children of Israel had sinned, and God said, I'll not go with you no further. I'll not go with you. I'll not walk with you. I'll send the Holy Ghost. I'll go along with you, but I'll not go. I want you to know how God took the tabernacle and cast it outside the city. And Moses went there to make intercession and to pray unto the Father for the people. And where had they sinned? Moses went into the tabernacle, stood inside the door. The Spirit come down. God came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood on outside the door. And Moses talked through the door. That door was Jesus. He was making intercessions for Moses and the people. Even then, he still is today. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. You look at these babies, I look at my grandbabies. They was running around out there yesterday in the yard. Two of them 5-year-old, one's 9-year-old. Or one will be 5-year-old this week. Just little bitty fellers. They still don't understand what all's going on. And all the trouble in the world. And it's all around them. And I wonder what they may face. And Pa won't always be there for them. Someday I'll be tucked and placed in a grave somewhere. I don't know where, it won't matter. I won't always be able to be there for them. I won't always have the answers for them. But I know one that can. One that will never leave them nor forsake them. Death, no, even death could not stop him. The grave could not stop him. Where is our hope lie today? Where does your hope lie? Amen. I'm going to read this last. I'm going to read this first, and then I'm going to read from over the Corinthian letter last. The Revelations. John saw him and he said he fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. I am the first and I am the last. Fear not. I pray God, when Jesus would lay his right hand upon us and take our fears and troubles away today. But listen to what he said. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. That's what Jesus said. Amen. People get on the preacher for amen in themselves. Listen to me. There was no greater witness, the witness of him. And he spoke the truth. And he amen the truth. How about an amen?
He that was dead and liveth. I want you to know he lives today. He is a Savior that lives. He's not dead. He's not over there in a grave. There's people go visit his gravesite. And I want to tell you, I wouldn't mind saying it. But honey, he, the main attraction, left 2,000 years ago. There was two standing looking. They said, men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing? That same Jesus ascended shall come again in a cloud. I want you to realize he went up, but he's coming back in a cloud to receive his children. And when he does, it says, and in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For the corruptible must put on the incorruption, and mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying, that is written, O death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. I want you to know he would have never tasted death if it hadn't have been for our sin. He took on our sin, and the sting of death was sin. A living Savior who never knew no sin, who became sin for us, that we might live obedient unto the death, even unto the death of the cross. But he was raised in incorruption. And he kept the law. But thanks be unto God, which give us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The world would tell us today we're crazy. Those people are crazy. Not only are they meeting on a Sunday celebrating somebody that come out of the grave, but they're meeting and listening on the radio. They're meeting sitting in a parking lot. Those people are crazy. But let me tell you something today. Stand steadfast in the Lord, and your work and labors will not be in vain. Serve the Lord with all your being, with all your might. Give him all you've got. Because he was who was dead and now is alive. Don't search out the living among the dead. Our God is alive. My Father, here on earth, and my brother are in heaven serving my real Father who's sitting on the throne. And at his right hand is my eldest brother who's sitting on the throne with him, Jesus Christ. The ones that I can still go to. I can still go to. I don't have to go to a grave to talk to them because they're not in a grave. All I have to do has humbled my heart and call upon the name of a living God, and he hears me. This week I've tried my best to pray for y'all. Some of y'all was afraid and had to have me tested and for this old virus. And y'all text or phone call and ask me to pray and ask the church to pray for y'all. And I've tried. And so far, the news has been good. I can't fix these issues, but my father can. My older brother can. And so can yours. So I beg you, please continue praying. Can't continue asking prayer, because he's hearing, he's loving, and he's living. That was my thought for today. If you're here today and lost and you've never met a living God, I pray today where you say it, you'll make an altar in your heart and call on upon a living God. Amen. Fear not, he said. He laid his right hand upon him and told him, fear not. John, a lot of times when he wrote in the first and second, third book of John, he said, called them little children. Fear not, little children. His hand is upon us. That don't mean bad things ain't going to happen, because they are. You can get ready. If they ain't happening to you yet, they're coming. But I want you to know, even John, it didn't stop him from being on the Isle of Patmos by himself, did it? What they thought. But he never was alone, was he? They took him there to lift him to die alone. But he never was alone. Jesus came and he took him on a vacation. He went up with him into the exceeding high mountain. He looked and Jesus showed him all that what's come before us. Don't give up on the Lord. Keep putting your trust in him, because he liveth today. I love you. That's our message. Oh, we got any songs or anything? We got anything? If you believe what we preached this morning, that he's alive, let me hear from you out there. Amen. Amen. Amen.
When my way
I love y'all. Keep serving. Thank you for visitors today. I don't know your vehicles. I don't know who's a visitor or not, but I thank you for being here. We love you. Pray for us here at Hilltop. Pray for the ones that are in the battle on the front lines. Pray for our lost, most of all. The ones that come in and out the door Sunday from Sunday. Thank you for coming today. The sun is coming. It's gloomy today, but the sun is coming. One of these days we'll look into the eastern sky. And he'll shine brighter than anything we've ever seen. The sun is coming. I guess we have a little bit of business to take care of.